WHCR 90.3 FM, New York.
I can see clearly now the rain's gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be
good morning. Welcome to Mental Health for Better Living. I'm your host, Dr. Leon Dickerson. Mental Health for Better Living is a show that explores the challenges to mental well-being and as a collective group of concerned individuals, both lay and professional, together we address multiple mental health problems and then focus on solutions as they impact the individual, the family, spiritual life, and our community. For those of you who are listening, I know there are those who can't get us, but you can get us if you go to www.whcr.org and just click the Listen Live button and you can listen to us and even see us in the studio. I'm a psychotherapist with an office right here in the Village of Harlem. I will provide more information about my practice at the end of the show. Today we have on the show with us, Ms. Justina Lasley, who will be talking to us about our dreams. She's going to show us how our nighttime dreams can make our daytime dreams come true. Ms. Justina Lasley is the founder and director of the Institute for Dream Studies, an internationally recognized program that promotes the understanding and value of dreams to help people claim their uniqueness and full potential. She is the creator of Dream Synergy, trademark, and a comprehensive process with proven results for uncovering dream meaning leading to personal transformation. Justina is the author of Honoring the Dream, a handbook for dream group leaders, In My Dream, a unique dream journal, and her new book, Wake Up, Use Your Nighttime Dreams to Make Your Daytime Dreams Come True. She has been featured on television, radio, and in numerous newspaper and magazine articles. She is in demand, and she is a trainer and coach and conducts dream groups and workshops throughout the United States of America and abroad at such venues as Omega Institute and the New York Open Center. Justina's more than 20 years of study and practical experience expands her capacities and capabilities as an instructor and enables her to successfully coach individuals on their path of personal growth. Justina shares with her clients her enthusiasm, clean insight, and talent for relating to others, facilitating their rapid movement toward a more authentic, spiritual, and fulfilling life. Ms. Lasley holds a master's degree in transpersonal psychology with an emphasis on dream studies from the University of West Georgia and a bachelor's in both applied art and education from Converse College. She has also studied at the University of Paris, Parsons School of Design, and Pacifica Institute. Ms. Lasley is married to Chad Manifi, and between them, they have 7 daughters, and they reside in Lowcountry of South Carolina. Ms. Justina Lasley, welcome to Mental Health for Better Living.
Thank you, Dr. Dickerson. That was too much. Thank you. I hope I can live up to that. We're going to have fun now with our dreams.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad to have you on the show this morning. I would like to get right into the topic of dreams, and it's up to you. I was thinking about opening up the second half of the show for our listeners to call in to talk to us about their dreams. But it's up to you. If you can have them, people can call in as we go along, or we can wait for the second half. But I thought I wanted to get into really understanding dreams and parts of what you do.
I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
Let's give a little foundation.
Beautiful.
And then people can get ready to call in. And if they'll think about a short way to give us their dreams, too, so we can get to as many callers as we can.
Okay. Beautiful,
that's
beautiful,
great.
Beautiful. Ms. Lasley, what are dreams, and why are dreams so important?
Well, dreams, you know, to define dreams is almost impossible because they're so broad and deep and mystical, and there's so much unknown about them. But I work with dreams from the standpoint of that dreams come to us every night. We're having 5 to 6 dreams a night, each person, whether we remember them or not.
Oh, wow.
And these are gifts that we're given even before birth that lead us and guide us. And just to stick with our authenticity, to really reach the full potential that we are given in our life. Mm-hmm. I say we, you know, dreams in my work are the inner 24/7 therapist we have, that it's not to put you out of work. We need people to bounce it out off of. But we have this aspect of ourself that is a natural part of our humanness that is a great guide for us in our life. And so to ignore these things is ignoring a huge gift and support that we can use throughout our lives.
Wonderful. Ms. Lastly, since we all dream, I don't know if there's been any animal studies, but since we, as human beings, we all dream, is there a common place, a common sphere, or a common vacuum of education or knowledge that dreams come from for all of us?
When you say education, do you mean that of a from an educational standpoint, or do you mean from our human nature? I'm sorry, I'm a little confused.
That's okay, because I'm confused in trying to ask this question. What I'm saying is that being that dreams tell us things, and it gives us a type of message that we can, you know, sort of get into and live by or make decisions by, is there a general place that this information comes from?
Yeah. Well, yes. Generally, I see it as spirit, soul. It's the essence of our being. I see it as a God-given gift for us. And you mentioned animals. Animals it also dream, and often people believe that their dog dreams before they believe they themselves dream, because they can watch their dog dreaming. Mm-hmm. But we do. I work from that standpoint, that this is something that we have been given, a spiritual gift at birth as a guide. And this is what makes me passionate about getting to people, because the majority of people, especially in the United States, pay no attention to their dreams. And you look back into history and into the Bible, and so many of the decisions, all the great major decisions, were based on a vision or a dream, which is sort of interchangeable in the Bible. They would not do anything without the support and of a dream or a vision. And this day and age, we just get so busy and caught up. When you say, you know, mentioned education, we think that we don't know unless we learn it from a book,
right,
or study it.
There you go.
And we've got this knowledge. We believe that animals are intuitive, and this is how I finally got it, was hearing a bird singing one morning when I was really struggling with how can I know information that I have not studied. Mm-hmm. And I heard a bird chirping, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is it. Mm-hmm. If a bird, I believe that a bird knows. I believe that bird knows how to build a nest and where to fly and how to raise its young. And it's never sat in a classroom, and it's never done these things. And why would God give the bird the ability without giving it to me?
Exactly, to fly from, let's say, New York to California somehow, migration, how they do those things, you know?
Yes, and we too have a lot of that ability, but we override it with seeking provable knowledge.
Mm-hmm. You know, there have been stories, I know we all have read them or seen them, where animals that have been lost have traveled like cross country.
Yes. Absolutely, using their intuition.
Isn't that something?
And dreams so much lead us into that intuitive nature of knowing. We know things that we can't believe, even other languages. Mm-hmm. Deepak Chopra says that in every cell of our body is the history of humankind.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of this comes up in dreams. Some of the listeners may have had things happen in their dreams, or words used in their dreams, or other languages used in their dreams that they do not know they know, but it shows up in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And that is amazing and has really taught me to expand my way of looking at what is possible
mm-hmm.
for us.
Thank you for your book, by the way. I'm reading through it. It's so personable, you know, and it's so me. I never really paid that much attention to my dreams, except that they do happen. When I was reading your book, I grew up in Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
And as everybody knows, you know, numbers are legal now. You can play lotto numbers.
Right.
When I was a child in Harlem, numbers were illegal. And we used to have people called number runners. And they would come to your house and knock on the door, or, you know, they would take the numbers and then if you hit the number, they would pay you the money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they were dream books. I remember my mother had dream books. In other words, if you dreamt of a fish, there was a certain number attached to it. If you dreamt of a star, there was a number that you could play. Now, as a child, I was always curious, so she had about three dream books. And I looked at, like, for instance, let's say fish played a number 111. And I said, I wonder if the same number would be given for fish in this dream book. And it was. In each dream book, in other words, the information that I'm reading in these books come from a central source.
Yes, yes. Well, I am always intrigued when I work in a group where there are people from different parts of the country. The International Association for the Study of Dreams sponsors a conference, which this year is on the East Coast. I'd love for people to think about coming there in Virginia Beach. And so I get to work with people from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how many common things come up in dreams, no matter the language
right.
or the culture that people
mm-hmm.
are brought up in. And so we think of things like myth, and we think of things, fairy tales, magic numbers, the number three is often comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Each number represents something
mm-hmm.
historically, and in the essence, again, of our human being. You look back in ancient history, and people paid a lot of attention to numbers and numerology. And so this, I'm sure, people related to some of those ancient symbols and numbers of coming up with
exactly.
this fish. I've
mm-hmm.
never heard this about this, and I love that you're sharing it with me
mm-hmm.
because it's some new information, and it's seldom that something like that comes up that I haven't heard about in the past 25 years, but
yeah.
I love that idea. Talking about dream books, too,
mm-hmm.
some people may have dream books and go right to a dream book to get the meaning of their dreams. I am not an advocate of that
mm-hmm.
because dreams are very personal. As you
right.
know from reading my book,
yes.
I really put a lot of emphasis on you will be the person who knows what your dream means.
Mm-hmm.
I say I can help you interpret your dreams, but I cannot interpret your dreams for you because it's going to be about you and your life experience.
Right.
If I interpreted it for you, it would be about me and my life experience. And so this is what sometimes dream dictionaries do when they get too specific. They
mm-hmm.
don't know that, say, when fish come up for you, that you had a really bad experience and were swimming and got bitten by a shark when
right.
you were a child.
Right.
So all of that is going to play in it. Or you could have had a goldfish and loved fish from the time you were a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to pay attention. What does it mean to me?
Mm-hmm.
What does that symbol mean to me,
exactly.
even though we have universal symbols?
Exactly. Ms. Lasley, most all of my guests have written books and like you have, and I always come to a point where I want to ask them, how did you get into this? Since Everybody Dream and you're doing so much work with this, how did you yourself, how have your dreams impacted your life?
They have impacted my life so much, and I share that in the book, as you know, with my story. It has changed my life, I like to say, dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
But as a child, I was really intrigued by dreams and things that were magical and fantasy, make-believe. But I grew up in a very analytical, engineering, mathematical family, so there wasn't much room for that, a very patriarchal family. So all my little girl things and wanting to make-believe and talk about my dreams, there just wasn't a lot of respect for that. Mm-hmm. And so it was difficult to find a place for it, and I lost a lot of the interest in dreams. I just sort of put those on a shelf. I paid attention to them myself, but I lost that they were important. And it was in, 1990, not that long ago, my children were grown, and somebody came to Atlanta where I was living and spoke in the church about dreams. Mm-hmm. And I was so intrigued that this was something someone considered important enough to speak at a large Atlanta church about mm-hmm. dreams. So I was fortunate and joined a dream group that was led by our interim minister at that time, John Hadsall. And it was so fascinating. It opened up my life in a way I had never seen it. It gave me a story. It gave me words. It gave me images for who I was and what I could do and what I really wanted in my life. Mm-hmm. And with that and following my dreams, I've been diagnosed with lupus, which nobody could diagnose, and it was so difficult. Treatment for that, very healthy now, going through using dreams as my support. I moved, just so many life transitions, mm-hmm. and remarried, and just living a life that is truly authentically just Tina. And mm-hmm. I was not doing that before. I was living according to other people's expectations.
Mm-hmm. You know, dreams, they come in sometimes in images, bits and pieces of things, why are dreams so bizarre?
They are so bizarre. Mine last night, I was like, what? I wrote down 6 pages in the night with my eyes closed because it was so bizarre, filled with energy and emotion. I think dreams speak from a different language. Mm-hmm. They're metaphorical and symbolic. So nothing that appears in a dream is just that. I mean, if a flower appears in a dream, it's not going to be just about a flower that you would pass by. Okay. It's going to be what the flower represents.
Mm-hmm.
And dreams don't care about time and space as we know it. We as human beings set up these limitations of space and time, what can happen, what cannot happen, how long it takes to happen. But as you know, in a dream, you can be 3 years old, and then you can be 50 years old,
right, right.
all within minutes.
Right.
And you can be in Europe, and you can be back in New York City, all within seconds. And so that seems so bizarre to us when we wake up. How can we travel like that? How can we become different parts of ourselves? But dreams use that to tell the story of our life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And emotions, what happens? What are emotions, and how are they important in dream work and the work you do?
Yeah, in this book, I really wanted to simplify the process of dream work. I've seen it so important in many, many people's lives, hundreds of people's, and I see how quickly change is made when mm-hmm. people pay attention to dreams. So I tried to narrow down the process. What can make it simple enough? And what is the most important thing if people are going to start working with their dreams?
Mm-hmm.
Emotions is one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Emotions, characters, and beliefs. I think if we focus on those three things, we can learn a lot about ourselves. Emotions are something, as human beings and in this busy world, we learn to camouflage our emotions. We learn to stuff them in a sack. Just anything but feel our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And the dream does not allow us to do that. And this is one thing my dream was last night. It was packed with emotion, of feeling anxious and left and alone and not being able to call people. And I have no idea right now what that is about because I haven't had time to go back over it. But I know I should pay attention because, see, in my waking life, I'm really busy right now. My husband had surgery, so I've been so focused on that. There's some emotion that's going on that I need to pay attention to before it sabotages the way I want to live my life.
Right.
So
right.
This is what dreams are going to show us, whether we're sad, mad, glad, or afraid, in a way that we don't allow ourselves to feel it in our lives. And you know from your practice how important it is for people to touch in.
Oh, yes.
Emotionally.
When I studied, when getting my doctorate, I studied Freud, Sigmund Freud. We read a lot of him. And part of his work on dreams, and just, you know, simply put, that Freud believed that when we dreamed, our dreams were a wish fulfillment. You know, that it was an attempt to fulfill a wish or some type of pleasure that we were either too afraid or society would block us from, you know, from doing so. You know, but that, you know, of course, it's sort of limiting because I have to first get to know my clients and then I can sort of begin to try to help them, you know, to piece their dreams together.
Right.
You know, but what you're doing here is giving us all an opportunity to enjoy the other life.
Right.
Because let me tell you, I had a dream once that I have found all this money. And I mean, it was a lot of money. And I was counting it. And then even in the dream, I was saying, am I dreaming? And I convinced myself in the dream that I wasn't dreaming. And then I wake up, right? And for about maybe... like for about maybe 10 seconds, I'm still in the dream, like thinking, oh my God, this money, I got this money. And then I wake up, oh my God, that was a dream, you know. But it was so real. It was just so real, you know.
I know. Well, see, if I were talking to you about that dream, I would say, what does money represent? Because, again, it's not going to be the actual money. But, you know, what does money represent? And it's different things for different people, you
right.
know, whether it's success
mm-hmm.
or whether it's ability to do things that otherwise you wouldn't be able to do. There are a lot of things that money represent. It can even represent bad things if you've had a bad experience or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where we would go in the dream. But it really is interesting, a false awakening where you thought you were awake, but you were still really dreaming that you were awake. That's crazy feeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good. You know, one thing I want to say before we open up the lines, too, is that that if they go to my website, if you don't mind, if I tell them about a special for the book, because I want to get the book in as many hands as I can, because it does allow people to understand how to make meaning of their own dreams.
Mm-hmm.
But they go to my website, which is dreamsynergy.com. So it's dream, DreamSynergy, synergy.com, and they can go to the book, Wake Up, Use Your Nighttime Dreams to Make Your Daytime Dreams Come True. And in the process of ordering the book, if they put in a coupon code, radio, and the number 2, then they'll get a discount, and I'll autograph a copy directly to them and mail it to them. So I hope they'll do this because it does give them how to figure out your emotions and what they're telling you.
Mm-hmm.
And the characters of the dreams, did you find that interesting about the aspects of yourself?
Yes, I did. I did. And I before we go on, I was going to have you, and when we come back, I'm going to have you again give that information on how to get your book. But yes, I did. As a matter of fact, I was so impressed, about what I was had read that I came across a chapter. I believe it was chapter 6. Throughout the book, you talk about recurring dreams, from the page 1, I saw the word recovering and recurring, and by the time I got to chapter 6, I remembered that I have a recurring dream, and I thought I would just talk to you about it just briefly before we go on break.
Okay.
Okay. In this dream, it starts out black and white. It's a black and white dream. And I'm being escorted through a poorly lit parking garage by two huge men. They're both on either side of me, and they're both about 8 foot tall. They don't say anything. They're just escorting me towards some place that I don't know. But I feel afraid, and then I wake up depressed. Then I'll have the exact same dream in color. The same two men walking me towards somewhere. But when I wake up, when the dream is in color, I'm in a pleasant mood and I feel safe. And I even remember the colors in the dream. The garage, the walls are green, and the pillars that hold up, I guess, the ceilings are white. But I never get to know where I'm going.
Wow.
What is that?
Well, do you want to talk about it a minute? Okay, well, so, yeah, I think, you know, recurring dreams are so important because this is a message that's been trying to get through to us. So dreams are patient and persistent. They're going to keep coming back. And sometimes a little bit different, like you say, one is in black and white. You aren't aware of the colors. And then, you know, one is very colorful and it feels better. So the emotional quality is different. So just right off, I would say to think about, you know, when I am not noticing color, because it could be color, but we're not noticing the color, it feels very threatening. And I'm afraid, which leads to a sense of depression.
Mm-hmm.
But when I have color in my life, when things, you know, when I start looking and noticing the color of my life, the beauty of my life, then the same thing can be happening, but I have a different perspective on it.
Right.
And I feel less threatened by it.
Right.
You know, and this escort, about 8 foot tall people, you know, if we had time, I would want to talk to you about, you know, more about how they look and stuff. But going back to character, see, I would say that these parts that are escorting me would be a part of me who have a lot of strength and a lot of power to take me sometimes off course and sometimes on course.
Oh, wow, that's beautiful.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, I feel
and
that.
So we could do an active imagination. I would have you talk to these people. Where are you taking me? Because I don't know. You know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad.
Right.
But these very strong, powerful parts of myself that lead me either right or wrong.
Yes. You know, I was telling my wife on the way down this morning, Margie, that most of my life, all the obstacles that I've had to hurdle were tall.
Wow.
You know, you know, were very tall, and I had to. It was like a do or die type of thing, like getting my doctorate or even graduate. I remember graduating high school, how challenging that was. So, you know, this makes a lot of sense here. You know?
Yes, and you know, you were in a parking garage. I say that every aspect of a dream has meaning. I have never worked with, you know, with the thousands of dreams that I've worked with, never has any detail been unimportant in the dream. And the fact that you noticed the pillars, you know, the thing that holds it up.
Right.
And why a parking garage instead of, you know, a field? Or it could have been anywhere, but a parking garage. Is this where I am when I get sort of stuck, when I'm not in a growth pattern? Is this where I am before I go somewhere. I'm in the parking garage. You see what I mean?
Yes,
before
I do.
Before I get started.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you're listening to Mental Health for Better Living, WACR 90.3 FM. I'm your host, Dr. Leon Dickerson, and we have with us this morning Ms. Justina Lasley, and we're discussing dreams and the use of dreams to guide us toward a more joyful life. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to take calls from our radio audience. Stay tuned. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Hotep, Souls of Light and Bass. This is DJ Soul of a Ton, inviting you to tune in to my show, The House Music Experience, every Friday from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Experience Afro, deep, progressive, soulful house and vintage club classics from Spain to Cape Town. Join me in my live exclusive remix sessions, also showcasing mixes from DJs from around the world and debuting brand new house tracks. That's the House Music Experience with DJ Soul of a Ton every Friday from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. on WHCR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem, and streaming live at WHCR.org.
My Mic check.
Keep it locked on WHCR 90.3 FM.
Okay.
New York.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright sunshiny day. It's gonna be a bright sunshiny day. I think I can make it now, the pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow I've been praying for. It's gonna be a bright sunshiny day.
Welcome back to Mental Health for Better Living, WHCR 90.3 FM on your dial. Today we have with us on the show Ms. Justina Lasley, author of Wake Up, Use Your Nighttime Dreams to Make Your Daytime Dreams Come True. I am now opening up the line for callers to talk with Ms. Justina Lasley about their dreams. And as you dial or as we wait for you to call, we're going to continue on. Ms. Lasley. The number to the show?
To call him. The number to call him.
Excuse me. I'm so sorry. The number to call into the show is area code 212-650-6903. 212-650-6903. Thank you so much. Ms. Lasley.
Yes.
On the break, my assistant, Mr. Anthony, was speaking about daydreams. And I remember reading in the book you had an actual car incident.
Yes.
On the highway and you treated it as if it was a dream. Could you speak on that?
Yes. I have found that very traumatic experiences are often hard to just absorb into our daily life. And this is a great thing that I have used with myself and other people to help get over the trauma of an event. So we use the dream, I write it down, write not the dream, but the actual incident, and write it down in my dream journal as if it's a dream. But then I go back and try to make meaning of it. So the one that you were talking about, I think, was the one where I had an accident on I-85. Is that right?
Yes, yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. And it was very traumatic because I was caught in the middle of traffic and my hood came up and smashed against my windshield and totally blinded me.
Mm-hmm.
And so here I was, you know, I won't go into all the details, but what happened when I looked at it as if it was a dream and connected it to my waking life, I realized that I was going too fast in my life and that it was blinding me. And, you know, the hood is the thing that covers and protects the engine. So I look at that. The car often represents parts of our body.
Right.
Like, what am I doing to my health? And
mm-hmm.
all of this is being affected. And it made such a difference. I had done so many things to get over that traumatic event that had not really helped. And seeing it as a dream and making meaning of it just helped so much. And I want to say, too, Dr. Dickerson, that I love your theme song, and I thought about your dream, your recurring dream with that,
yeah.
Seeing things brighter and a bright, sunshiny day, the difference between the black and white
yes.
and the colorful light.
Isn't that something?
So I just wanted to comment on that.
Well,
came back.
Well, that's basically what I was thinking when I first came on the show. And that's the reason I have that song by Johnny Nash. It's an upbeat song. You know, I can see clearly now things are going to be better because on the radio show we have had guests on that have experienced some terrible things in the military, female sexual abuse, and I can go on. You know, post traumatic stress disorders.
Yes.
But I can see clearly now is a sort of a hopeful song. We have a call on the air.
Great.
And she is a licensed, certified social worker, and I'm going to put her on to talk to us.
Great.
You're on the air.
Happy to hear your show. I'm always busy, so this is a great opportunity. As I'm listening to you, and I haven't read the book, I was thinking about dreams and what they mean and how you have such a busy day and you're not able to process some of those experiences, and they somehow creep into your subconscious mind, and when you're resting, you process that information. So I was wondering if that was something that was in your book, because that was my thought about some people who have these really horrible dreams that wake them up, or, you know, a reoccurrence of things that have happened. In addition, when I'm under a lot of stress, I have the same dream. It's amazing. I said, there must be some post-traumatic stress attached to this. And you don't realize how much stress you can be under living your life and having to manage, you know, the world around you. So I was wondering if you had a response to my thinking about how things manifest in your subconscious mind when you're just busy through your day and not able to process those experiences, but just moving forward and managing.
Hi, Ms. Leslie.
Dickerson, I got cut off when she got brought on.
Yes, so. I'm so sorry about that. But did you hear her?
I could not hear her.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
So tell me briefly.
Okay. I'm so sorry about that. We're having technical difficulties. What she basically was saying that she's a very busy person, and she's very busy, but things are still going on in her life, and that she can't really address at the time that these things are happening to her. But yet there are times when she goes to bed to sleep, these recurring dreams tend to surface.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was asking whether it was part of the subconscious, you know, does the subconscious store away things that we can't really pay attention to at this, you know, when in our awake life?
Yes. In our waking life, we override that. It definitely is part of our subconscious. We have so much information and abilities that we do not have conscious ability to access. And it is through our dreams that this part of ourselves, the huge part of our psyche, develops and comes forward. We stay so busy, we sort of drown out that. So I see every time we dream that we're dipping into the deep unconscious and we bring it back up to the surface. And so once we realize once we understand this part of ourselves that's coming up through the dreams, it becomes part of our consciousness. Mm-hmm. So the more we pay attention to our dreams, we're living out of a greater consciousness. You know how some people seem to really live with a sense of knowing and just an expanded view of life, and the dream will do that over and over.
Mm-hmm.
So it is in our sleep. And so often we wake up in the morning and we're in such a hurry to get busy and get to work that we move into this linear thinking and we lose the dream.
Mm-hmm.
So often people want to know, how do I remember my dreams? I don't remember them. Mm-hmm. And we need to take action to remember. And we can talk about that if you want to,
mm-hmm.
about some tips for remembering dreams later.
Okay. I'm going to give the number out again. Our number at the station here is 212-650-6903. 212-650-6903. 6903, and we apologize. We had some technical difficulties a little while ago. I think the lines are open now.
Thanks.
Okay. Now, you were saying in terms of remembering the dreams?
Yeah. Yeah, this is the most common question I have is, how do I remember my dreams? Dreams want us to pay attention. They want to get in touch with us, but not in our busy lives. Not if we're not fully intentional about remembering them. So I say for the dream synergy process, dreams plus action equals change.
Mm-hmm.
Dreams come freely 5 to 6 times a night. We don't have to do anything. They're going to come whether we want them to or not. But we have to provide the action. We have to remember them. We have to write them down. We have to try to make meaning of them and then try to resolve the issue that's presented by the dream. If we do that, our lives will change dramatically and they will be better and more positive. So what are some tips? The main thing, intention. Put paper and pencil by your bed. If I did not write down my dreams like last night, mm-hmm. in the night with my eyes closed, I don't turn on the light. And just make some notes in the night. Even though I love my dreams, I wouldn't remember much,
mm-hmm.
of my dreams in the morning. But I do that, and then I copy them over into my dream journal. Just buying a dream journal and committing to that. I think this is important enough. I'm going to get a nice dream journal to write my dreams in. Don't set up your intentions more than you can do. Don't say, I'm going to do this every morning, when you know that you're not going to do it every morning. Maybe say one morning a week, I'm going to take some time to do this. That will be gold, and that's enough to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So all these things are so important. When you wake up in the morning, lie still. Don't hop up. Lie there and let your mind wander and begin to think about, what did I dream last night? I'd say, people say, well, I don't have time for that. And I'm like, do you check your Facebook? Do you check your email,
mm-hmm.
when you wake up? Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot more important messages coming through to you, personal messages through your dreams,
mm-hmm.
than through your Facebook. So I encourage people to take the time. And in the book, as you know, I give the top 10 tips, and they can go on my website and get those too for remembering your dreams.
That's wonderful. And I will say this, that your book will help us to start to develop, a sort of like a relationship with our dreams.
Yes. Love that, the way you said that, a relationship
with our dreams.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I have when I was in the third grade, I had a crush on my third grade teacher. And, I came out of, from the South and, very strict. Church, the whole nine yards. But for some reason, I was a little baby, but I think I was in love with my third grade teacher. I would just sit there, and when she would talk to me, I would just get quiet. I remember the feelings,
Mm-hmm.
And then I had this dream, and we were in like this this park, and she was talking to me, and she was saying, "You can't talk, you can't." And I know why I couldn't talk. I was just so bashful, I guess inside feeling these feelings, but I'm 67 years old, and that dream keeps recurring. Not the thought, not the dream itself, But the dream was so powerful, you know, that I finally found a space in my dream, you know, to be with my friend, you know. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, in having read Freud and all that, I was no way sexually active or even in my mind at that point.
Yes.
But something was happening between me.
A connection, a human mm-hmm. connection. Mm-hmm. That true, you know, I think about that as being like pure love. Mm-hmm. You know, you admired. So many times dreams show us something about ourselves, a potential that we don't even come close to believing mm-hmm. that we have. There, we call this the golden shadow in dreams. Mm-hmm. We have shadow dreams. I was thinking about your black and white dream, too, mm-hmm. where that dreams often show the shadow aspects of ourselves, the negative, what parts of ourselves that we don't want to believe we carry, mm-hmm. but that we do. And when we don't believe it, then we project them on other people, which is happening so much in the world now. Like, I am good, I'm all good, and they are bad. Mm-hmm. So that makes me feel better to make somebody feel bad. The dream is going to show that and show you how you carry these negative aspects. We all do as human beings, but it brings it to light so it doesn't carry the damaging energy.
Right.
Well, they also carry the positive golden shadow,
right.
The part that we put somebody on a pedestal. And this dream seems so much like this, this young boy looking up. I would imagine you put her on a pedestal.
Yes, yes.
And when I used to think that, of course, everybody would put the people I put on a pedestal on a pedestal. But it's not true. We all put different people. So there's something within you as a third grader probably that had that potential that mm-hmm. she carried mm-hmm. and you still have it. So that thought and memory of the dream probably has been like a guiding light, even if you didn't know it, of showing you, you know, you say you've done all these things and gotten your doctorate, all the hard things that you did. Mm-hmm. That is a guiding light. This person, I have this part of her in my being,
mm-hmm.
and I can do it. She believed in me, and I believe in me. Because we can't take those people around with us forever, but we carry them within. Does that make sense?
It really does. She would definitely be an angel.
Oh, I love it.
You know, she would definitely be an angel, you know, that we read about in the Bible, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me just say this. This is about the most I've spoken about me on any show. But it's indicative of what your book is doing. You know, we can read a book and read about someone else's, you know, issues, and they're very important, post-traumatic stress disorder and everything. But in reading your book, you know, you can't just read it. You got to get involved with it. And I highly recommend the radio audience to please get this book, because not only will it bring some insight, okay, you know, that you know, never realized that was possible for you to reach, it would even help you to look at others in terms of, you know, people that we're going to meet, you know, along the way.
Yeah.
You know,
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And I think it is so true. I share a lot of myself in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I have noticed on this program how you're sharing yourself. And I've been thinking what a fortunate radio audience you have that you are willing to share yourself. I think that if we all did this, and this is why I share so much in my book, if we step out and do this, it shows this common human life that we're living,
yes.
that we do carry these negative things, we do carry these wishes and desires for things, and then we don't have to treat other people badly.
Right.
We just can be more open about it. I said one of my goals was to bring all the leaders in the world together into a dream group, because I think when you share dreams, you're sharing a soulful element of the human being,
mm-hmm.
and that you can't ever treat somebody badly
mm-hmm.
once you've heard their dream. It
right.
moves us into a deep spiritual realm. Do you think so?
I really believe so. And this is sort of segue into my next question. In your book, you speak of spiritual awakening.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean when you say spiritual awakening?
Well, often people have something in their life, and I want the listeners to think about this now, that after it occurs, they can never be the same. Something opens up, and I get cold chills when I talk about this because I know that feeling of there's an opening, an expansion of heart and seeing the world differently and believing in yourself and wanting a different life. And that happens, and it can be through you know, a dream, a vision. It can be the birth of a child, you know, birth of a grandchild, something that impacts you in a miraculous way.
Right.
Just be somewhere. It can be a sunset or all kinds of experiences, being traveling somewhere and seeing something or being around a group of people that you've never experienced before. Mm-hmm. These open up a part of ourselves. And the dream really supports that and leads us. A lot of times when people have these spiritual awakenings, they come to dream work after that because their dreams become more intense and they begin to believe that their dreams do carry significant meaning.
Right. Ms. Leslie, it's been nice having you on the show. And before you go, I would like you to give our audience information once again on how to obtain a copy of your book. And I'm going to be emailing you copies of those dream books I was talking about earlier.
Oh, I would love that.
All right.
Love it. So thank you so much for that. And they can go to my website. I really invite them to come to my dreamsynergy.com, dream, D-R-E-A-M, synergy, S-Y-N-E-R-G-Y.com. And they can get a lot of information there on the website and order my book. And I'm going to give the listeners today a discount, and I will give them an autographed copy. So they just put their name in the order, and they need to use the code RADIO, R-A-D-I-O, the number 2 in that, as they're ordering the book. And I hope they will. I think the world will be a kinder, gentler place if we all do wake up to our dreams.
Well, I'm feeling great already, Ms. Leslie.
Great.
And reading your book and talking to you. And obviously, I'm going to have you come back on at some point.
Love to, Dr. Dickerson. I have really enjoyed this, and I appreciate what you're doing in helping people understand themselves.
Thank you so much.
Reach for something greater.
Thank you so much. And thank you for listening to Mental Health for Better Living. I'm your host, Dr. Leon Dickerson. We had our guest with us this morning with Ms. Justina Leslie, and we spoke about dreams, and she is the author of Wake Up, Use Your Nighttime Dreams to Make Your Daytime Dreams Come True. I'll be seeing you next week, keeping in mind that next Monday is Memorial Day, and we want to hold our veterans high. And so goodbye, and I'll see you next week. Thank you.
WHCR 90.3 FM, New York.
Once again, back is the incredible
WHCR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem.